What is up, best friends? I'm Fran Mirabella III, or FM3 on Twitch. You were watching Kinda Funny Games Daily, and I'm here with the verified one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. I love this so much, Fran.
I know. He's letting Fran host today.
I love it. I love the first time with you in that seat, me over here. I'm just cruising.
It's just tripping me out, man. I'm driving your car.
I noticed that your laptop is smaller than last time.
You know what? Some people were fans. I brought in my gaming laptop, and honestly, it's absurd. It's probably like I have to peek over it, but people seem to love it. So if you'd prefer that I cover up almost my entire body with a laptop, maybe that's the problem. They don't want to see me, Tim.
I don't know. I think they do.
I'll bring it in next time. In the meantime, Kevin, thanks for bringing this laptop in for me.
Anytime, buddy boy.
All right. On today's show, we have got some good news. We've got the latest MK11 character reveals. We have a little talk Anthem's endgame, and Take-Two's pushing back a little bit on the idea of exclusive stores and all this talk of the Epic Store. We'll get into all that and more in just a second. But first, a few reminders. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, you can watch us right here, 10 a.m. live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. And if you are watching live, you can help us out. You can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong. KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong. I struggled with the concept, Tim, of spelling your in a slash.
Well, that's fine.
It's fine because
if you spell it correctly or incorrectly, it still goes to the same place because we know how people are.
That's right. But I mean, there's no apostrophe, but of course you wouldn't type that in a URL. Anyway. I probably got it wrong anyway. All right, so if you don't watch it live, you can catch us later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you might be out there listening on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. I have been saying Games Daily the whole show, not Gamescast, right?
No, you're near nailing it.
Because we got that later. And I'm getting used to driving your car, like I said. So if you want to be part of the show, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of housekeeping before we start, Tim. We are, of course, as you know, looking for the up-and-coming Kinda Funny best friends who are content creators. So if you're out there listening, watching, whatever, submit your picks for these up-and-coming content creators at kindoffunny.com/upandcomer. Mm-hmm. kindoffunny.com/upandcomer for a chance of working here for a week. Tim, why don't you just explain it real fast?
Pretty much, we just know there's a lot of people out there that are watching this show, listening to the show right now, and they're like, I could do this better than those bozos. And you know what? We believe you. Probably. We believe in you as well, and we want to give you an opportunity to prove it. So we want to bring two people up here for a week, different weeks, to do Kinda Funny Games Daily with me, with Greg, with whoever, just to get some content on their resumes, on their reels, so that when they go to places like IGN or GameSpot or wherever, or do their own thing,
someday,
whatever, or maybe here, like they have something to kind of prove and show that like they can do it on a cool stage like this.
It's real world experience. Like people always say, how do I get a job in the industry? And I always say, write, produce for no one, do something. You're giving them opportunity to do it for many thousands and hundreds.
It's gonna be cool. Very excited about it.
It's awesome for the real, but
That whole opportunity is happening because of the amazing support from you guys on Patreon. Shout out to our Patreon producers: Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed, and Blackjack.
Yeah. Nice. Good. I'm glad you took care of that one. Today we are brought to you by Brooklinen and Headspace. But I'll tell you more on that later, of course, Tim. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got five stories today, Kevin.
A Baker's Dozen!
All right, let's hop into it. I asked Tim, what story do we start with? Uh-huh. And he says, the one you're most excited about, Fran. I'm like, are you sure? All I talk about is Anthem.
You got to do it.
Let's talk
Anthem. There's big Anthem news. You got to talk about it.
That's right. So they put out a big endgame trailer, and props to the producers, Michael Gamble and Ben Irvine over on Twitter. They've just been talking out the wazoo about everything to come. But there was a cool new trailer and a lot of little details coming out there. So let me read through this, and then we'll have a little discussion about it.
Just a little discussion.
So on Twitter, Anthem lead producer Ben Irving has revealed details on the post-launch content release schedule for Anthem. This is a big deal, obviously. What's coming after launch? Everybody asked me this. Continue on. It says, it will include the continuation of Anthem's story, the addition of guilds and leaderboards, an expanded progression system, new missions, events, difficulty settings, and more. I also noticed in the trailer there were contracts that they've been talking about that come after, you know, the game's been out for a while. So a full breakdown, of course, is available actually on Anthem's endgame
site. What are contracts?
Contracts you're going to get in Fort Tarsis. And basically it'll just like pop up. It'll be like, yo, we got trouble out out there. I need to learn my lore, Anthem. I love this game. I don't know what you call it. It's not Earth, right? I feel like an idiot now. I'm like, what do you call the planet?
I'm sure no one else knows either. It's
that, fine. You know what? A lot of people do, and they're going to write in, you're wrong right now, and tell me. But they're just going to basically give you these like random bounties and missions, but it'll be something in the world that's happening, and you'll just go out, finish it, and get a reward.
Side missions, essentially. Yeah. I mean, these are really side missions.
Yeah, but they'll come after, and it's kind of similar to what I'm gleaning is a little bit like Destiny's bounty system.
Cool.
You get some bounties, but it looks to have like a little bit more to it, but we'll see. These are the important questions because people grind through it. So according to Ben Irving, Anthem's post-campaign narrative will kick off with a March 2019 update called Act 1: Echoes of Reality, with Act 2 and Act 3 to be detailed at a later date. So again, this is really interesting. Anthem comes out on February 22nd, or if you're an Origin Premier member, you know, you get in early on the 15th. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, look, there's just Act 1, and that doesn't even come out until March. So you can see that they have some post-launch features and a plan that is developed. They actually released like a little key art of what's to come. I think that's getting people excited for just they have a plan.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think that it's too soon after launch?
No. Okay. Being, you know, the world of Destiny and Division in the past, I can't keep up with all of them. I'm excited about Division 2, by the way. They're so hungry, man. Like the first weekend, the hardcore players probably push through like 50 hours of content just in 3-4 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. So people just play it a ton. And so if there's nothing the next week, there's going to be dissonance in the community. They're like, what's going on? Where's the plan? But secondly, they're just ravenous to keep playing, and you kind of want to keep them on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the biggest question people have about Anthem. I have been, you know, streaming it and playing it, and everybody, for the most part, comes in and just keeps asking me, what do you think? Do you think it's really going to be enough?
Where are you streaming it?
You can find me on Twitch.tv/FM3_. I want those three characters someday. Thank you. Yeah, I would love the support over there as well. And a lot of best friends, by the way, have come by. So
absolutely.
So let's continue on with a few more of these key details. So this is Act 1. The Echoes of Reality update will include several key features, including a new Cataclysm event, a new stronghold for players to conquer, some quality of life improvements as well. Basically, what I'm getting from that is it's going to be like post-launch patch stuff, the big stuff that'll come after that, stuff they already have planned. Once players have completed the campaign, they will be able to dig their teeth into challenges, contracts, free play, strongholds, which will comprise a large part of Anthem's endgame. And these challenges that are different than contracts will be available on a daily, weekly, and even monthly basis, giving players several ways to obtain crafting materials and currency. Legendary contracts will also be made available for players hungry for more difficult multi-part adventures. And then strongholds were already in the open demo, as it were. So I don't know. You didn't get a chance to play it at all, right?
No.
So yeah, let me set up again real fast. For starters, do you even like games like this?
Anthem is the one that I'm like, this looks so cool. The Iron Man looking stuff.
Yeah.
Like I need to at least give it a shot just from a gameplay perspective because it looks super fun.
Yeah.
I'm not into everything you're talking about this 50 hour grind. Mm-mm.
Exactly.
Not for me, baby. Not for me.
And that's why there's probably some folks listening and watching out there. They're like, I just want to play like the main game and how much is there. Other people are like, what's that post game grind? What is the legendary item that I'm going to acquire that everybody's talking about?
I guess that's my thing is if this game does have a main story quest that is concise and high quality,
yeah,
then I'm going to jump in and I'm going to do that. But nothing leads me to believe that that's going to be the case.
It's interesting you say that, yeah, because it's coming from BioWare, you know, and they have the pedigree and story. Their narrative director actually wrote, Cyberpunk, you know, best-selling novel. So they've got experience in story, and they're bringing that to this world. And what I can say is I've actually played the opening. We weren't able to show or talk about it too much, but it definitely is rooted in kind of that opening cinematic story feel. You go back to Fort Tarsis, which is sort of like the tower in Destiny, and you're talking to everybody, and there's dialogue choices.
Yeah.
So develop relationships with people, which BioWare is known for.
I'm excited to see what their reviews say about the actual story quest and how that goes.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me a lot of Destiny, where I was like, hey, it's Bungie. I loved the Halo campaign so much. And the campaign in Destiny, I gave it a shot. I gave the campaign in Destiny 2 a shot. And I'm like, as much as the gunplay feels great,
yeah,
I just feel like it wasn't focused enough, I felt.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge with Anthem will be, it seems designed for playing with friends or people that you matchmake with. I think if you try to have this solo, I want to do the story on my own, whatever, which I was able to do in Destiny for the most part. Sometimes things get challenging. You're like, I need some help. That could be a bit of a challenge to balance all this out. But I do believe, you know, where I was going with, I do believe there's probably a good 50 hours, 70 hours, whatever, of just playing the core game, getting the answer to what is going on with the story. And I think it's going to lead to a bit of a cliffhanger and then what's to come. So there's a little more details here that are interesting. The open demo culminated, if you caught it, into they put this storm in the sky that started to like screw with the weather. This actually dates back to some of the
original
first
E3 trailer
reveals.
Right?
Yeah, they ended in the Shaper Storm, as they were calling it at the time. And I don't know if it's still called that. I believe it is. And we'll talk about what these cataclysms are. But anyway, in the open demo, the sky was messed up and it was spawning these huge titans in the world. It was really cool. And they said, that's just the taste. We're going to do some of this stuff that open up these new experiences. And so a little note on that right here. They say, central to Anthem's game are cataclysms, limited time world events, which will alter the world and introduce various hazards, including powerful creatures and extreme weather. Contracts, as we were talking about before, will allow players to increase their reputation with different factions. Oh, that was just a note on the contracts from before. But cataclysms, people are, they're talking about, like, maybe is this a little closer to what a Destiny raid is?
Mm-hmm.
So again, for those who didn't play it a ton, that usually there's more puzzle stuff. There's more to like figure out. It adds a bit more to the world's lore. They're definitely very mechanical, and you can't just step in without having a coordinated team. So they were talking a little bit about this today on Twitter. There was a Anthem Ask Me Anything this morning as we were preparing for the show today. Somebody on Twitter, Mercury Mew, asked, players are very concerned about the complexity of cataclysms and if they are anywhere near on par with the endgame raid content from other games. Can you describe them in further detail? Ben Irving, lead producer, just said, we want them to be aspirational, meaningful, challenging, and requiring high levels coordination and a place to earn the best rewards. So we know strongholds, I think, are right before cataclysm. So anyway, if you're following all this, there's like sort of the challenges, the main story quest stuff. Then they have, I believe it's four strongholds. If you played the open demo, we were grinding this like spider boss thing and it was tough. Then you move on to cataclysms after that. And I think they don't want to reveal too much. I think there's going to be a little more like puzzle elements in it.
Is that good?
I think it is good. Now, when I say puzzle, it could be as much as shooting that thing, red dot over there while, you know, I shoot this enemy. In fact, they even had that in the current stronghold. It wasn't a puzzle, but I've played some stuff where there was like, you had to find something to take
it's
down.
It's something more than just going through a hallway, monster closet,
yeah,
hallway.
Like you had to figure out
closet.
How to take down a boss's shields. Now, I know that seems like, well, of course you take down boss's shields, but there was just sort of, you had to look around and figure it out.
It feels like a true boss fight, not just bullet sponging an enemy.
Exactly. So I hope that's what's going to come with it. Definitely, you know, I think folks who are excited about the game, this is the hardcore players, they want to have a lot to grind there. So I was just excited to hear them talk about it. Make sure you check out that there is a new endgame trailer, and they actually show like a little more of some strongholds and a little taste of the cataclysms to come.
So cool.
Pretty excited about it. Okay, next story. Pretty excited about this. Obviously, we got the MK11 reveal at the Game Awards, and then there was the full-on reveal just recently. I think it was January 23rd. They have now confirmed that Cabal and Devorah are coming to the game, and Shaggy Tim, not.
What's wrong with you, you cowards?
Fucking cowards! Do it!
So this has been a I've covered this now a few times on the show, and I just, first it just started with Shaggy being in the game, because there was like the Shaggy memes. Yeah, Barrett was here last time explaining this to me.
In a very, very, very quick way, Barrett, can you
explain it to him again?
Get on the mic. I don't need an explanation. I think we all know. What I do need explained to me is, was the source of this, did the Shaggy memes come from Ed Boon tweeting the picture of Shaggy, or was that because of the Shaggy memes?
The Shaggy memes, I believe, came first.
Yes.
The Shaggy memes came before them requesting him for MK11.
Got it.
Of like him being like this all-powerful god. I don't know where that originated
Shag-god.
From, but that was happening like weeks before they were requesting him for MK11.
Because Ed Boon did tweet out a picture of Shaggy.
They did this, so it is awesome. So first of all, it was a ridiculous request. Originally, Ed had tweeted out. Actually, he already covered this. He's like, it's not going to happen, guys.
Yeah.
But then they, I believe after that, went on to, they create this really nice art render of Shaggy just like kneeing like Scorpion in the face or whatever it was. And it looked awesome because it's like this fully rendered looking Shaggy. But he said, like, it was a joke, and they made it very clear. So let me just read the story. He just confirmed. But I mean, the more exciting news, especially we know a few more characters that are definitely in the game. There's actually a tease during the reveal where this player, like, flew by on screen, and they didn't say who it was. And so now we knew. Everyone was pretty sure that it was Cabal, and it sure enough is. And they actually showed some gameplay of these folks. So let me just read this real fast. This comes from Timur Hussein over at GameSpot. It says, in the first Combat Cast live stream since reveal of the upcoming fighting game Mortal Kombat 11, the NetherRealm team unveiled that Cabal is returning to the roster. In addition, Devora was announced to be another returning character during the subsequent Inside Xbox stream, which I know you guys covered a lot on yesterday. However, it may come as a disappointment to some NetherRealm fans that they confirmed Shaggy of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo will not be a guest character, regardless of how loud you scream the memes. That was just in Timur's words. So Mortal Kombat creator Ed Boon himself got in on the meme action, which you were talking about, Tim, when he tweeted fan art. Oh, I guess it was fan art. I thought they did it at the studio. Of a hack and slash Shaggy variation hitting Scorpion, with a brutal knee. It's actually an awesome shot. It's so hilarious. But today, you know, this was yesterday during the Combat Cast, the community manager, Tyler Lansdowne, stated, Shaggy will not be in the game. Ever. Sorry. Dead meme. And this is just continuing the story from Timur. The series has a strong history of bringing in guest characters like Leatherface from and Jason, but Shaggy, of course, will not be appearing. Thank you. Let's get Tim some more coffee over here.
Appreciate
So according to Ed Boon, Cabal is the first of a few fan favorite characters that will be added to the roster. And again, what we saw in the game is he's super fast. He's got that hook blade. You can see it like puncturing through someone's jaw. He actually, his finisher that they showed, he drags them at sort of like light speed, really fast, gets ahead of them, and then as the body's momentum's coming towards, he pulls his blade up and they're just like split in half.
So gotta love it, man. The fatalities.
The game's brutal looking. And so just a really fast last note here was just that during this Combat Cast, Ed Boon also teased that the guest character, during the Combat Cast, Ed Boon also teased another guest character, saying people will freak out when they see it. So he didn't say what that guest character is. It's not Shaggy.
It's Scooby-Doo. It's Scooby, baby.
It's Scooby-Doo.
Let's go.
Wouldn't that be the twist?
It'd be so good.
It's like, was it Thelma? Was that like one of the other?
It's
like,
fucking Fred. Like, everyone's exactly. Like, God damn it. Freddie Prinze Jr.
What do you, are you an MK fan?
I am not an MK fan. I'm a Street Fighter guy. Okay. Always have been. MK to me always felt like, I appreciate the flash of it all, and I appreciate all that. From a gameplay perspective, I just never could wrap my head around it. It's one of those things I feel is too simple for its own good in terms of how easy to do the button combinations are.
Really?
For stuff? Yeah.
For MK?
Yeah, and again, that's...
I mean, you don't really play
the
that, but...
casualist of casual play. Like, I understand
definitely
how deep...
all about
it's
timing.
Super deep. Yeah. When you're an actual fighting game enthusiast.
There's a very different feel to it than Street Fighter. And that's just your feel.
I prefer the archetypes that Street Fighter has of, there's four different styles or whatever you learn in Street Fighter, and then you can play any of the characters.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. It's more like Smash Brothers to me, where I'm like, I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat, at the end of the day, it's cool. You know?
Like,
especially Sub-Zero.
Yeah. That's your favorite character?
Yeah, of course, he's blue. But my thing is, despite not being a Mortal Kombat fan, I became a huge NetherRealm Studios fan when I played Injustice 2. That story mode blew my mind.
Yeah.
And because of that, I want to get this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they've earned me trusting them to make excellent single-player fighting game content. So because of that, I'm definitely interested in Mortal Kombat 11. The DLC character stuff, I'm excited to see who they end up going with. Mm-hmm. They always have kind of really thought outside the box and got some weird...
Yeah, maybe that's that guest character that he's talking about.
They've got some weird characters in there, and I feel like they would make Shaggy happen if they could. It's good that they're getting ahead of it and saying it's not happening.
It seems so absurd to me that he would have any moves like worth... using, but
it's also
done
absurd they got
things.
The Ninja Turtles in Injustice. It's like, that's really weird.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
game
true.
It's like, hey, it's DC people. Oh, and the Ninja Turtles are here.
They do God's work over in NetherRealm. You're
yeah,
right.
So
Chi-Town, my hometown, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Love
that's where they're based, man. Yeah. So it's always nice when you see a Midwest game development company. A lot of them are on, like, West Coast and East Coast.
Yeah.
But I'm biased.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I'm excited about it. I have not been able to keep up with Mortal Kombat, but I said it, I think, on the last show I was here, man. I used to just go to the arcade. I actually played Street Fighter 2 Turbo at the bowling alley and Mortal Kombat, and I'd just be just in there.
Two at once?
Yeah, I was just, like, a little kid.
Both exactly. Those sticks.
Tim, don't do it.
Don't do what?
Why?
Don't double joystick it, man. This is why you should watch the replay of the show. Of course,
Nick
shows up
right when I'm double joystick.
As soon as
it.
I say stop, Tim, please.
I love everything about this.
Oh my God. Good morning. Good morning, Nick.
I just have to take stock of the world that we live in. Where is this my God?
Yeah.
Now where I walk in and Fran and Tim are goofing off.
And Tim's just
jelly belly laughing. It's great. It's fantastic. You guys look great together.
You gotta love it.
We got the whole gang back together. Good morning, hey, good sir.
We just got to get Brendan to come over and
yes.
Have Craig smoke a cigarette outside, and then we'll have
the OG IGN video team.
Gotta do it.
It's amazing. Okay, let's move on to the next story, but I think I finished. I said, no, I didn't. Nick interrupted, but I used to spend a ton of time at the bowling alley, and I would line up, and my brother would be out there just hitting on all the girls
Liquid
in his class.
Liquid Fran, as we call him.
Liquid Fran, yes.
He's you with blonde hair.
Yeah, that was me with blonde hair in the arcade, but he'd be like, you have to like fight my brother in this game because he'll kick your butt.
Yeah.
And I did. I was just like this little like short kid. I could barely see over, you know, the the control, you know, the joystick.
You're the hype man.
I could barely see over them. You're so just... then... All right, this is why you got to watch the show as well on replay forever on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Let's move on to our next story. You guys covered a lot of Take-Two yesterday. Take-Two CEO talked a little bit in response to an investor question about the Epic Store and upcoming stores.
And this is a Take-Two story, Take-Two.
Yes, this is a Take-Two of Take-Two. I see what you did there.
You're welcome.
It almost tripped me up, too.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was like making a correction where I was what did I say?
Don't listen to me, Frank.
how can I not when you're doing this? So he basically said, we have not been a believer in exclusive relationships. So this is from Colin Stevens.
Polyamorous.
Yeah, this is from Colin Stevens over at, man, you're just full of stuff today, Tim. Colin Stevens over at IGN. So Take-Two's CEO, Strauss Zelnick, says the company doesn't intend to exclusively distribute its games on the Epic Games Store as the company isn't a believer in exclusive relationships, like some of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
In an earnings conference call yesterday, in reference to if Take-Two is considering digitally distributing its games on the Epic Games Store exclusively for higher profit margins, Zelnick said, our approach is to be wherever the consumer is, and we distribute very widely. Generally speaking, we have not been a believer in exclusive relationships, and I wouldn't comment on any particular store. Continuing on, the question's been raised, shouldn't you as a company be exclusively direct to the consumer? I think our experience is that consumers want to shop where they can get a multiplicity of titles, Zelnick had said. Our strategy is to be broadly distributed. We're happy that Epic's going into business. We're happy to have someone else at the table. Also, in an interview with GameIndustry.biz, Zelnick further expounded on the Epic Games Store, saying, quote, from our point of view, we don't see another retailer as a disruption. We want to be where the consumer is, and if there's a competitive offering that benefits consumers, generally speaking, if the business model makes sense to us, we will support it. We want to be where the consumer is. We want... We see competition on the retail side to be a good thing. It just means more distribution. So maybe before I continue on, everyone's talking about the Epic Store because of some of the exclusive deals they're getting, like Division going over there. This
Metro Exodus is, but Division's not exclusive.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was
on Uplay, right? It must be.
Yes, it is on Uplay, but I thought it was not on the Steam.
It wasn't
store.
On Steam.
That's
okay.
What I meant.
So
by that.
Like,
exclusive's
maybe not...
the wrong word. You're right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because of course you can get it on Uplay, and if yeah. They pretty much are symbiotic. But anyway, a lot of people are making the move because I think it's a 12% revenue share versus a 30% revenue share with, so Steam takes like 30% and Epic's like, you know what, we'll just take 12.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because games out there are also sharing with content creators like a certain percentage of that too. So Epic is really paying through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect plug, by the way. Support Fran Mirabel on the Epic Store. You can punch that code in, actually, if you're buying any of those games. But it's interesting, and it is a valid point. They are really paying out the nose to get some to get people attracted to just supporting this.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We've been talking about this a lot as Epic's Game Store kind of starts forming into an actual competitor to Steam, which is very crazy to think about, where Steam was just so dominant for so many years. But I really feel like this everything that the Take-Two guy is saying makes so much sense, where it's like, why would a company as big as Take-Two care about this? They just want their games on more platforms, right? It's like...
They just sold 23 million copies of Red Dead.
There's no reason for them to be exclusive in one place or another, even if one place gives a better split, be in both places, right? I feel like this the better split is really only going to create exclusive situations for smaller indie titles where that actually matters to them, where they're looking at the numbers and they're like, okay, if we put our exclusive game here, we're going to make more money because of that split. Or it's going to be games like we're seeing with Metro Exodus that are one-off random things that they're getting paid out the ass by Epic to be exclusive.
Right.
Right? Otherwise, it's let me put it this way. No one wants to be exclusive anywhere.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Do you think it's good for the consumer?
I don't think it's good for anybody except Epic.
Right. Well, yeah, it's good for the pockets of the folks who take the revenue share at, say, Take-Two or Ubisoft in this case. But yeah, like for the consumer, yeah, why wouldn't we want to be able to buy it everywhere?
Yeah.
What do we get as an incentive? Sometimes you get like some packing deals or like a discount price if you're part of like a store or something. Mm-hmm. But overall, yeah, like fewer places to buy the game does not really benefit us that much. So,
and that's the thing is it's like if you want to support the developers and publishers more and you are a type of knowing consumer that knows the difference between Epic Game Store and Steam and what the percentage split is, then yeah, go to Epic just to support them more. Otherwise, if you're just trying to get the game wherever's easiest for you, more convenient for you, something that you're used to doing.
Yep. And that's exactly what Zelnick was reinforcing at the end of this quote. He said, "We think it's very difficult to try and attract consumers only through a wholly owned captive site. That's not how consumers shop. It's your focus. If your focus is solely on capturing retail margin, then you have to be very convinced you're going to be a great retailer. That's not something that's in our DNA. We make entertainment. We're not really a retailer." I think this was a little bit in response to, will they do it?
Let's take this into our world a little bit, right? It's ridiculous to only put videos on your website, right?
Yeah.
IGN for years were like,
yeah, we were trying to have
we're not going on YouTube. They're a competitor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that maybe made sense at the time with the ad dollars and everything behind it. But eventually you realize, no. Not being on YouTube is doing us a great disservice. That's where the audience is. You got to be with audiences.
And
that doesn't mean don't put stuff on IGN. That just means put it in both places, right?
Exactly.
Like for us, it's the same thing. It's like we want our stuff in as many areas as it can be.
Yeah.
Yes, we're also going to be on Patreon. We're going to push people to Patreon because that's where we make the most money from it.
Yes.
Right? But also watch it for free on YouTube. Yeah. Like go get the content how you want to get it.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up as part of your own business here. Like you have to run the business. You do have to make those tough choices. So like how do we grow the business? How do we do all this? So you might get lured into, Epic says they'll give us an amazing deal. Mm-hmm. So now Steam users are going to be pissed and it's going to cause issues. But you know what? The rev share is so good. So if you believe you can sell as many copies.
Perfect example of that.
Why not do it as a business?
To really get like transparent about this, I think Twitch is a perfect example. I hate the fact that we have to be exclusive on Twitch for live streams.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. In this day and age, like they're just swinging their fucking dick around.
And they're pulling you off the cover now.
We've had this conversation with them many times. It's like we should be able to be partners with them and also stream on YouTube Gaming or on Mixer or on Facebook or on Twitter or on our own website or on Rooster Teeth. It's like it's ridiculous that we're not allowed to do that just because they're like, well, what else are you going to do? Yeah. But because of their services like Twitch Prime.
Twitch Prime is an amazing service.
It's hard for me to rationalize leaving that deal, right? Yeah. Because those other services don't offer something that can help us in that way. And I feel like that is what the Epic Game Store would need. Just giving developers a better split I don't think is enticing enough to get people to be exclusive in the way that Twitch Prime for us absolutely is enough for me to be like, we have to.
But that's actually a brilliant, you know, analogy and comparison because like you have every day you say you're like, and later you can find us on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames
or get it early on Patreon or
it's
whatever.
Not it's that like, you can't
diversify.
Stream live physically on YouTube. It's that you know, your business decisions and how you operate, you have to do it exclusive on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's great that everybody shows up in one place. I think there is some power in that when you have a community tool like chat and that. But with buying stuff from stores, I think ultimately you want to get as much out there as possible. Mm-hmm. That, again, Zelnick finished. He's like, he said, the truth is when you deliver an amazing AAA experience, consumers show up for it. You give consumers what they want, they'll show up. So he's less worried about where, although I think you could argue, you're like, well, wait, doesn't that also mean you could just put it in one place and they'll show up for it? But I mean, the point is he's less worried about that. But I just want to finish on the point is, the main reason as well that this comes up a lot is, of course, it's the business like we talked about. But normally you get some promotion from the company out of it. Like either Twitch is promoting mm-hmm. you guys on the front page, right, in exchange for that exclusivity, or on the front of a store like Epic as it grows, you might get that front page hook.
Absolutely.
And when people log in to play Fortnite by the hundreds of millions, you get a promotion for Metro. And mm-hmm. that is a big reason that people are really looking at the Epic store right now. But I don't know how many unique users the actual storefront has, you know, on PC and everything. But this discussion will not go away.
No, it's, no. You're going to hear about it many more times.
Every show, I think, that I've hosted so far. Just probably coincidence, but also being a PC guy.
The industry's changing, man. Like, that's the thing. This is big news. We've never seen stuff like this. Like, we are in a brave new world now of digital distribution. And, you know, the all-digital future is slowly becoming the present.
I mean, honestly, every year is different. But this one is really lining up to be interesting in a world where I believe people are talking about how Fortnite competed with the Super Bowl for views. And like, that's just like so far from the past, obviously, you know, just network TV. And of course, everybody watched Super Bowl. Now they're worried about Fortnite. People watching Fortnite during the Super Bowl is a concern.
Yeah.
And that's just the world we live in now. So yeah, Epic is everywhere, man. So, all right, let's move on to the next story. This is actually just an update. You guys were able to report on a previous show that Apex Legends, the new game from the Titanfall developers, Respawn. It's a free-to-play game, Apex Legends, Battle Royale. It had hit 1 million players before Vince Zampella had gone to bed and reported on his Twitter.
In his first eight hours.
Yeah, so by the time the full 24 hours hit from the game's launch, they actually drew in a total of 2.5 million players in 24 hours. And just let me read the numbers real fast. During the Electronic Arts Q3 earnings call, as spotted by VG247, this story came away of IGN, actually, it confirmed that 2.5 million players tried out Titanfall Universe Set competitive game in its first 24 hours. And according to EA, it reached a peak concurrent of 600,000 players during that first day. So that's like max concurrent, obviously, everyone playing at the same time. So
yeah.
What do you think of the numbers when you look around and look at games? You know, whatever, Red Dead sold 23 million, but Fortnite is played by like, I forget what the latest number is. I think I saw 125 million previously. Mm-hmm. How do you think it's doing? What's your reception?
We're going to go a lot more in depth into Apex Legends on kind of Gamescast later today. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You get in there. We don't need to save it, though. Like, just to answer your question,
I feel
like this is extremely impressive.
Yeah.
So early. And I am honestly in awe at how successful this launch was and how masterfully crafted the rollout plan was for this game. And I feel like they accomplished exactly what they set out to do. They were very transparent about saying, like, look, we didn't want to do the traditional preview circuit for this game. We wanted to get some influencers playing it, like have them get the taste to put the word out that way. But then, boom, the game's here. Do you like it or not? That should be the word, because we believe in this game. And so far, people like it. People believe in the vision that they put out there. And 2.5 million players in 24 hours for a free game of that quality.
Yeah.
This is only going to grow. This is only going to turn into a much bigger thing, much bigger conversation. And you were talking about the Super Bowl being a competitive Fortnite. That is true. Fortnite, I don't think games should be looking at Fortnite as competition. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be like, how do we take time away from people playing Fortnite?
Yeah.
I think it's more of, let's just have our own thing. Let's make sure that's super high quality and find different niches that maybe don't want to play Fortnite or maybe want to break from Fortnite. I think that's the bigger key.
Definitely. And it's a very different game, by the way. You get a lot of those comparisons. So yeah, we'll talk about it more on Kind of Funny Games Cast. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're a Patreon user, you get access to that live today, this afternoon on Thursday. It goes up, what, Friday, 6 a.m.?
On Patreon for early users, and then Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, 6 a.m. for everyone.
You can catch our big discussion there. I've been playing a ton. Can't wait to talk more. But my brief commentary on it would be, these are really good numbers, actually, because it's only 24 hours. And I remember Tim Sweeney, or maybe I heard this, whatever, confidentially internal story, but whatever, they were taking bets on how many concurrents they thought it was going to hit internally. Now, this was Fortnite early on. They didn't know. That was a game that I had, you know, talked to the lead producer. They developed in like a couple months out of course, the base of the game. They've been in development for half a decade. But when they saw those numbers rising in it, they were not targeting, I'll say, as high as 600,000.
Oh, no.
And when it grew, so this, of course, in this day and age, it's a year and a half later, but it's a big number. Mm-hmm. And to see where that goes, but 600,000 max concurrent, that's a pretty solid number to have playing. I forget how some of the top games on Steam and stuff are, but I think they're like 600,000 is a ton. Concurrent.
So day one.
So it's hype, obviously. That might tend to resolve itself and kind of come down, but we'll see where this goes.
I think that we've seen a trend with games like this, and also this game's kind of doing something new, so it's like we don't have data to support this type of thing, but I feel like that only helps it, where there is the hype of the day one, but I imagine that we'll see a little bit of a dip. Just because like the initial, like, oh, everyone has to do it, is going to drop a little.
Yeah.
But then it's going to start soaring up again because the word of mouth of everyone, when it is a game that's of as high quality as Apex Legends is currently.
Yeah, I mean, the number really to keep an eye on is unique. I'd say monthly players. I don't know that they ever release weekly. But if there's 2.5 million in the first day, by the time we get to the end of the month, how much of this Battle Royale base have they reached? Is it 5 only? Did it only double it? Is it like 50 million? And so, you know, maybe going back to the EA news, like, do you think this could be really big for them? It really comes at a time where they really needed this.
They did.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So if people are buying in that store, do you think this could, it's not that EA's like going out of business.
No.
They have a lot of tough decisions to make every day, and they didn't hit their Q3 financials.
I think that EA Play this year during E3 is going to be very telling about where EA is. Right now, I think this is a huge win for them, but I don't think it's because of them. I think it's because of Respawn. We went into a lot more detail about this yesterday, but the more I hear and the more I see and like the more people I talk to, I firmly believe that Respawn is kind of it's the dog walking the master right now.
You know, it's interesting to put it that way because I feel you on the creative side and the talent, but EA, in a very tricky situation, spent a lot of money to get that studio up and running and spent a lot of money on it to let them do what they do. Mm-hmm. And seemingly with pretty, like, a lot of creative freedom, like to let them do Titanfall, to say, don't just do a Call of Duty clone. Do this with, you know, Titans. Do this like wild mix because you don't want to be the same as Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And they were able to pull off something that honestly didn't sell like that. It wasn't like it sold poorly, but it probably didn't sell like through the roof, right? So, in other words, I agree with you on that, but at the same time, the talent is amazing, but EA is allowing them to do it, and some companies, you're right, might be a little too controlling. So there's something to look at there,
absolutely.
Right?
I guess what I'm saying, I went into a lot more detail about this yesterday, but I feel like the decisions being made of when things are being released is Respawn telling EA, not EA telling Respawn.
Yeah.
Which
probably.
That is key.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it's the right power to have and to give to them, and now they're proving themselves. They said, you know, I talked to the, I think it was creative director, executive producer, Drew, and he told me, he told everyone, but it was like, this started back in the PUBG days. It wasn't that they looked at Fortnite. You know, this goes way back to they're like, well, we definitely want to get in on, like, Battle Royale seems like a great mode, so how do we do it our way? And this has been years in development. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that they did that you probably just nobody expected, a free-to-play AAA polished style game, and it really is showing through.
You know, a lot of people, when this was first brought up, or like when it was first leaked and everyone was talking during the weekend of like, is it real or not or whatever, I feel like there was a big conversation going on of, oh my God, once again, EA is putting out a Titanfall game to die, going up against, you know, it's a bigger title, Battlefield or Anthem coming out. Now that the smoke's cleared, in my opinion, this is Respawn being like, no, we wanted to come out first because we wanted to own this shit, and we now have this.
Yeah.
Like, Anthem's fucked. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, it's so funny. Oh, man. We should talk about more on Games
Cast.
We'll
have a bigger discussion.
Or maybe towards the end of the show, depending on how we're on time. But all I can say about that is I don't think those two compare at all. Mm-hmm. Not for me. But yeah, so I hear that comment a lot. I'm like, dude, this competes with Fortnite, PUBG. And by the way, Blackout go free to play for this? The pressure's on. Pressure's on. So a lot of people are loving it. All right, let's move on to the next story. Some game movie news right here. Monster Hunter movie is set for a 2020 release date.
Screencast news, move on.
Now, you'll cover it on screencast. Tim told me we could cover this.
I was just messing with you. I'm not going to cover it.
Dang it, Kevin, you're throwing us all off. So, it's coming out September 4th, 2020. IGN said that they confirmed that this morning, that first film for the proposed Monster Hunter movie, September 4th, 2020. Exhibitor Relations Company shared the news on Twitter and confirmed to IGN, revealing the date for the video game adaptation. The Capcom universe is expanding. Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich bringing their Resident Evil talents, save it, to another video game adaptation, Sony's Monster Hunter, which set its trap September 4th, 2020. This, again, came from them.
And, let me read this next bit.
Yeah, me. Yeah, read this next one.
Helmed by the director of the Resident Evil movies, Paul W.S. Anderson, Monster Hunter will feature a group of soldiers. Let's just stop and realize how how bad this sounds already.
Oh, it sounds bad.
Who get transported from their world into that of the Monster Hunter video game world. Whoa! Jesus fucking Christ. Can this stuff? Nobody wants this.
Not
a chance in hell of this being good. Not a chance.
Damn.
Not a single chance. The Resident Evil films.
I don't
films,
think there's a chance.
The Resident Evil films that he made, right? Campy, stupid. I can understand there's a fun to it, but that fun is dumb. Yeah. That is like, you know, you're going to a bad movie and it's like, you know what? I'm just going to turn my brain off and just try to have a good time for how horrible this is. This sounds somehow even worse.
Not a good description, but set your sights to September 4th, 2020. I don't have much to say on it. I watched some of the early Resident Evil stuff, and like you said, I think like they found a rhythm that was campy and goofy, and like some people
they found
love
a
or
tone.
Hate
like
exactly.
They at some point they understood what they were doing, and what they were doing is not making Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, it's screencast tomorrow, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'll probably talk about it more in detail on there. But my view is, I'm just bummed because Monster Hunter honestly is a really cool world. It's been out there for a very long time. It has a lot of fans, and I have to imagine that they feel the same way, where it's like, that description, why? This is this fantastical world. It just, none of it matches up with what I think a fan would envision.
This military fetishism, it's like, you can just see what this is going to be. I hate it. I hate it.
All right. Well, September 4th, 2020 is very far away, though, Tim. It's so far away. So if I wanted to know what is coming to the mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
All right.
I love you so much.
Got the jingle a little better today. I'm working on it, everybody. Like I said, I'm
driving.
You're
doing good. You're doing good. You're
getting a great transition.
Getting the bits down. The transition was...
Really
good. Choice.
I tell you, I'm telling you, it's like driving someone else's car.
Greg Miller level transition.
All right, I'll work on the actual jingle. But they explained to me today the and people have asked me this too. Like, don't you watch the show? I've done the show. There's just like there's a lot of mechanics. It takes all the time.
A lot
to put
of
the
Greg
news
Miller bullshit.
I want to say, thank you. His words, not mine. I want to say thank you, everybody, for giving me the opportunity to actually host. It's so weird. Like, I mean, this is Tim and Greg's show and everyone, and I'm sitting here in the host seat
it's
today.
It's good,
so
man. It's your show now, too.
Let Fran host.
We're trying to get you. Let Fran host, dude. I've been saying it since day one.
So thank you. All right, let's get into a couple of these release dates. The Division 2 private beta right now launched at 1 a.m. Pacific time last night on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Ape Out is on Switch.
Ape Out, baby. Oh, man. It's out today, Kevin. Switch and PC. Do you know about Ape Out, Fran?
No.
Kevin, please, real quick.
I'm on it.
Pull up Ape Out trailer.
I feel like I've seen Ape Out, but I've never
played it. Ape Out is like the story of PAX game, Devolver Digital. It is just such an amazing small title that has such a great style.
We're watching it live.
Give us the music real quick.
We're going to get music, too.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a one-minute trailer. Hold on. Describe what's happening. Oh, top down. Just beating it's an ape. Just exploding bodies top
your
down.
Ape that has escaped, and you just need to fuck motherfuckers up. But I love
like
the style with the music and like the vibe is so great.
So it's like, this very like simple, just illustrates stuff, but this ape is just destroying people top down into bloody guts. There's guns in the game too.
Yeah. Well, you grab other humans as the
you're using them as your like body shield and making them shoot it. This is pretty cool looking.
Rad as fuck.
Not a game you would have expected to be on a Nintendo platform many, many years ago.
And here it is.
They finally have gotten over that. So you can check this out on Switch and PC. Ape Out is out. Good. I'm glad you knew about that one. Away, Journey to the Unexpected, coming out on Switch.
Another game that's super rad. We talked about it yesterday coming to other consoles, but now it's on Switch.
Okay. Blaze Blue. Well, I was actually, I was like, oh, you got me worried. I'm like, did you cover this one yesterday,
too? No.
Like, Switch is new.
Yep.
Blaze Blue, Central Fiction Special Edition, coming to Switch. Blaze Blue, a great fighting franchise. So
beautiful game.
Definitely check that out. Defense Grid 2 on Switch. Evoland, Legendary Edition, Switch. Plane Mechanic Simulator, Switch. And Reverie, Sweet As Edition on Switch. If we missed anything else coming out.
Three of these games, Reverie, Sweet As Edition, Away, Journey to the Unexpected, and Ape Out, all featured in the Kinda Funny Games showcase.
Whoa. Nice. Really? That's awesome. Were they like revealed there? Or
the release dates for some of them were revealed, and Ape Out, we got an exclusive level thing.
That's awesome. So it's not just me, right? Sweet As Edition.
Sweet As Edition.
It just got me. When I wrote it down, it didn't occur to me. Now I get it. It's a Sweet As Edition.
I don't think that's what they're going for.
Really?
I think it's like Sweet As something. Sweet As Pie. Sweet As
It's
what,
the Sweet As Edition. But you know what?
But when you look at the style of the game, it's Reverie's kind of a Earthbound RPG.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't expect it to be that, but maybe somebody was having some fun.
Like Earthbound, top-down Zelda-ish game.
Exactly. So check that out again. If we missed anything, you can hit us up at kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and we'll find some new dates in there. All right, let's move on to the deals of the day. No jingle for this one,
no
right,
jingle.
Gents? Good.
You just get in.
Maybe we should come up with one sometime.
Do it.
Not live. My live jingles are basically everyone's like, it sounds like porn. So I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
It does.
So this was pretty good today. Deals of the day, I wanted to point out, there's a bunch of $45 Switch games, big ones, that you can get at least over at Walmart. I think a couple were on Amazon. But basically, these games are now $45 today, so go check it out. Super Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Mario Tennis Aces, Super Mario Party, Splatoon 2 Starter Pack, and I think there's a couple more. So $45.
That's awesome. If you're looking to buy Switch games, that sounds like the best time to get it because Nintendo games do not go on sale.
Yeah,
that is exactly. Like such a rarity. So $15 off, that's huge.
Yep. So those are really good deals. And like I've been in that situation myself. I'm like, I've been wanting to buy it. Like, to Tim's point, now is probably the time to buy it. So go check it out. All right. Let's get into reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. But you can also write in and get your comments on the show, get some reader mail in. But speaking of ads, this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by the following. Brooklinen, you spend one-third of your life in sheets.
It's true.
It's about time for a bedding upgrade. Greg loves his Brooklinen sheets. He talks about them on the show all the time, and you can see them in all his porty Instagram photos.
Mm-hmm. They look good.
Brooklinen sheets, named the winner of the best of the online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife Vicky and Rich Phillip, their mission, make a five-star hotel quality sheets for more affordable and easy to order. Let me read that again. Their mission was to make five-star quality sheets and more affordable and easy to order sheets. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 30,000 five-star reviews. Sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 20 plus colors and patterns.
My Brooklinen sheets are fantastic.
you
I do have them. I love them. Sleep in them every night, at least most nights, when Gia lets me. Sometimes she kicks me out. She's
just
like, you can't
kicked
sleep in
out of the bed. You brought too many Flamin' Hot Cheetos into bed.
No, she would love that. but Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for you guys. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Get $20 off. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get the $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. And Fran?
What?
The next ad?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I was going to actually say, why don't you read the next one? Because you did that so well.
I can do this.
How about that?
Headspace is your guide to health and happiness. In fact, just 10 days of Headspace has been proven to reduce stress and increase happiness. It will teach you the life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. 3 weeks of Headspace reduced aggression and reactivity to negative feedback by 57%. 10 days of Headspace increased happiness by 5%. Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. There are SOS exercises for meltdown moments and mini meditations for busy days. You'll be guided every step of the way by Headspace co-founder Andy Potokambe, who spent 10 years training as a monk and has a really cool name. Guided exercises to help you add a touch of mindfulness to daily activities like cooking, commuting, eating, and more. Start your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace. Barrett's been using this to help him fall asleep. There's an app you can use. You get to choose what sounds are more soothing to you. G has been using this. She's been meditating for years, but she's found this really helpful to like do all her Gia stuff. I don't really know. She just does it, but she's like
mindfulness.
Sign up now at headspace.com/games to get a free month trial. Sign up online at headspace.com/games for a free month trial and start meditating today.
Thank you, Tim, for picking that one up. Yeah, definitely check it out. I know a lot of people that got into mindfulness and they swear by it. It's a way to bring yourself back. Like, it sounds maybe like a thought, but it really affects how you behave. But bringing yourself into a center and thinking about what you're doing, and that's what they're all about. Mm-hmm. A lot of different features on there, so check it out. All right, let's get into some reader mail. Yeah. The first one comes in from the five-star man, Aza Gray. He says, hey, Tim and Fran, I just saw the PlayStation Store has a demo for Devil May Cry 5 available for download. I was curious if either of you had a chance to play it or had any plans on checking out the full release. I know Tim's a fan, so especially curious to hear his thoughts. Thank you for everything you do. I'm loving Kind of Funny 4.0 so far and can't wait to meet the crew and as many Kind of Funny best friends as possible in Kansas City in March.
Hell yeah, baby. Very exciting. Tim, I am a big fan of Devil May Cry.
But
cannot wait to play Devil May Cry 5. There's the demos. I'm trying to stay away from it. I want to experience this game as a whole, and I'm not a big fan of previewing games.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's like
you
I
feel
don't
it
like,
just takes so, like because you already know you're in. It's like watching trailers for a movie.
Exactly.
At some point, you're like, I'm not watching it.
But there's a difference there because I am a fan of trailers as an art themselves. Like, I like the editing. I like the hype. I like the way that they good trailers have misinformation and they try to misguide you in a way that like when you watch the movie, you're surprised by it. Whereas when you preview a game, you're just getting it's not like watching a movie trailer. It's like watching 10 minutes of a movie in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think when you're already bought into it, like, why bother?
We're so close, man. Yeah. Next month. You know?
Can you hold out? It's kind of a way to think about it. Like, can you hold out and not play the demo if you're a huge fan?
Resident Evil.
Because other people are like, no, I'm playing today.
And that's fine. That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And the thing, too, is Devil May Cry is such a gameplay focused franchise that not everyone's there for the story. Not everyone's there for the cutscenes and stuff. They want to play. So a demo, it's like, I just get to play earlier. That's fine. I like the overall experience. Yeah. I like the ridiculous over the topness of it all. And I kind of want it paced correctly and to see how it's supposed to be.
I agree. These like vertical slices or things from 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago or E3 last year, they're not quite the game. So, you know, buyer beware, so to speak. It might even give you a wrong impression sometimes. Like, a free game demo.
It's great.
Awesome.
I mean, this is awesome.
So there's nothing wrong with
it. I'm happy people are playing
it. But not for
I'm
you.
Just not going to. But with Resident Evil 2 was a good example. I was trying to stay away from the demo, but then we did the one shot for party mode. I'm happy we did. You know, so that was a situation where what I'm saying is not true because that
for Resident Evil, it worked
that
out.
Just got me more excited for playing the game. So
okay, all right, let's get back to a little more Apex.
You're a big Devil May Cry guy too, right?
I am a big fan, but I've not been able to keep up. In fact, the last that I really got into it was the from Ninja Theory.
That was the last one.
That's right. I guess that was the last one. So I played a lot of it, but I loved that reinvention. We were talking about the new one on Gamescast. So I'm super excited. I'm actually probably more of the mind. I really want to try the demo. Mm-hmm. So when people say, hey, are you excited about the new game? I have that comparison with the last DMC to be able to say, I'm excited. Like, I have pretty good confidence. I'm excited about it because I've always loved Capcom's work there.
Capcom has been doing really great work recently. I feel like Devil May Cry 5 is the one that I'm most worried about overall because like it is so ridiculous, and I feel like it'll be pretty easy to... They've fucked up in the past. Yeah. Let me put it that way.
Well, maybe Devil we should May talk Cry about 2. It on the Gamescast
we'll save
today.
It. Yeah.
We'll save it. All right, well, I want to get another question in here, but Barrett, did we have anything crucial? Barrett,
an earlier wrong. Ape Out was delayed into February 28th, so it's not out today.
Old list. Thank you for getting that.
They just announced it like a couple of days ago. So
okay, yeah, cool.
It was on an old list. That's my bad. You know, there we go. First big you're wrong. All right, let's get on to the next question from Centuried from Boston. Says Apex, Apex, Apex. What a launch of a game over 2.5 million unique players. I am personally losing sleep, jumping in round after round. This seriously seems to be one of the best online launches ever. From not saying Apex, from not saying Apex once last week to everyone talking about it this week. If you had a place a bet, Tim, what's the future of Apex in the coming months? Does it become a juggernaut like Fortnite, or does it create its own niche like Rainbow Six Siege, or even worse, go the way of Realm Royale, which we know kind of faded? This is in his words. I'm making the bold prediction that it surpasses Fortnite in the next month in terms of consistent daily Twitch viewers being different than players.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts?
Otherwise,
I got thoughts.
Yeah. I don't think it'll maintain that. If it does hit it, I think it'll be like random one-offs that it has more viewers. I think that Fortnite is not going to be stopped anytime soon.
Yeah.
In terms of viewers or players. I do think that it's going to be a Rainbow Six Siege like community. Going forward, but I think it's going to be bigger than that. I think it's going to be somewhere in between, but closer to Rainbow Six than Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah, I would. My first thing is, first of all, don't judge a game on its Twitch viewers. There's definitely something there, but when you have all the big leaguers playing it, Shroud, Summit, Ninja, it will be the biggest game on Twitch just because they're playing it. That doesn't mean that that's the representation of the ratio of who's playing Fortnite. They've got a lot of work to do is what I'd say in terms of like getting people to play to even come anywhere close to Fortnite's number. So they got a long road ahead of them, but I'm, again, happy to see the success. I think that PUBG and Blackout, those are the numbers that likely are going to get surpassed. This
yes,
is going to be,
absolutely.
When you look at Battle Royale, I'm confident it will be the number two.
Mm-hmm.
I just said it, just thought of it, but I do feel confident. Although I don't know PUBG's numbers, and PUBG is very big worldwide.
PUBG is the sleeper now,
this is on
which
its
is
way.
Crazy to say. But yeah,
but it's still a huge game. Mm-hmm. You forget about it because of how big Fortnite is. So, okay, let's make sure we get in a squad up in here. Let's see. This squad up today. Oh, I forgot to say the keyword, though. And now it's time to squad up, everybody. I wrote that down. It's just, I want to say it exactly
I love
as written.
You so much,
exactly
friend.
As written,
you care so
Tim.
Much.
Okay, so our squad up today is yet another Apex kind of funny best friend. This comes way of Richard on the PlayStation 4. His name is WhiteBoy2749, and he says, I can't wait to be able to change my username.
Boy is spelled with an I.
So yeah, it is WhiteBoy 2749. WhiteBoy 2749. And he says, I'm looking for friends to play Apex Legends with on PlayStation 4. I'm not having, I'm not great, but I'm having a lot of fun. Be sure to hit up WhiteBoy2749. let's check out your wrong real fast, Tim. What are we seeing out there?
Not too much. Nanobiologist says the world's name Anthem takes place on has actually not been named, or we just haven't heard it yet.
Oh.
It's Earth.
The picture Ed Boon. The picture Ed Boon tweeted out was made by Boss Logic. The Shaggy meme started when people were comparing Shaggy to John Wick. This comes from Lord of Pwn. Boss Logic, iconic fan artist.
Yes.
Makes such great work. A lot of Marvel stuff that's really, really cool. I recommend following him on Instagram and Twitter at Boss Logic. And then Nanobiologist says a missed new date. Skybound Games announces new publishing deal with Beamdog to bring beloved PC role-playing games to console for the first time. Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Baldur's Gate Siege of Dragonspear, Icewind Dale, Planescape Torment, and Neverwinter Nights all coming to consoles in 2019. Consoles are not specified.
Ooh, so there's not like an exact date, but it's coming in 2019. Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2. Brilliant. Icewind Dale. Those are all great games.
Mm.
Those are past games, obviously, but man, I was a huge fan of Baldur's Gate for a while. So,
and finally, a deal of the day for you from Zabu. Missed on deals of the day. Axiom Verge is free on the Epic Games Store until February 21st. Axiom Verge, fantastic game. Nick Scarpino's game of the forever. It's fantastic.
That.
It's really, really
he
good.
Really likes it.
The last thing I wanted to leave you with, I wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD or whatever we do.
I thought you were going to write into your wrong
yeah,
right
no,
now.
No, not into your wrong. But something I want to bring up that I saw on Reddit yesterday is, with Nintendo not announcing a Direct for today, this is now the longest drought between Nintendo Directs, between general Nintendo Directs, at 147 days, beating the 149-day drought from June to November 2015.
The 147-day drought was the last one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's, I mean, it's funny because that's almost half a year. Is that during the Switch days, that drought?
That was 2015. So that was,
oh, sorry. It was 20, so that was that long ago. Yeah,
was the longest drought we've ever had, ever. Yeah. Now this is the new longest drought.
Yeah, I'd be curious to just look at what Switch gaps have been, because this does feel like it's really now getting to be a long time before.
Yeah, it's very weird, man. We talked about it a couple days ago, but January's Nintendo's January was very weird, very bizarre for how they've been acting.
I talked about this with Megan on the last show. it doesn't surprise me being a, you know, two-decade Nintendo news covering person. Wow, I write well. But I've been covering Nintendo forever, and, like, they run into this all the time. Normally it is at launch. They're just not ready. And I said, I was like, I could not believe how ready they were for Switch launch. But honestly, I think a lot of that was Wii U development pushed and whatever. They worked it out, and then now they got nothing.
They have so much. I disagree with this. They have so much stuff. But
for this year?
So much. Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Fire Emblem.
The Pokemon coming out?
Pokemon Gen 8.
The
real Pokemon.
That's coming out this year for sure?
They announced a couple days ago in the finance report that it's coming for sure.
Yeah, and I did see the report about there's Yoshi. Like quite a few rumored games. I think part of it for me is just like the caliber of, you know, Zelda and Mario and Mario Kart and Smash Brothers and so on, and now Metroid Prime getting delayed.
Pokemon.
I know. Yeah. You are right. There's big stuff. But Animal Crossing, I'm stoked for, man. We just haven't seen anything, right?
I'm saying is weird about Nintendo this January was... This is the first time that there wasn't a Direct in January, which is weird. They normally do that in previous years, every year.
I mean, they announced it right around now, you know, years ago.
The original Switch?
The Switch.
Just
meaning this is their time. You'd think anniversary, this would be a great time.
But the thing that's weird about them is that they made a bunch of big announcements not in a Direct. There was the Metroid Prime delay, which I get that they wouldn't necessarily want to have that in a Direct. But then they just announced the Yoshi's Crafted World release date, just... unceremoniously on a tweet.
Packaging it.
And like there's been a couple things like that. The Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, they just threw that out there. It's very not Nintendo. So I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Well, maybe the other side of it is, and to your point, there's a lot out there. Maybe they're just really lining up a lot of stuff right now. And maybe they're trying to make some hard decisions about, for sure, the stuff that's going to make when. And they have to sort that out before they can come out the door and like make sure. So maybe that is the silver lining. But we'll see. I still love my Switch for now. There's like all these great games that still come out every day in addition to these big hitters that we were just talking about from them. And unless there's anything else, Tim, I want to point out who's hosting tomorrow.
I'll go for it.
Which is me. I'll be back tomorrow.
Hey.
With Kevin. And Kevin's not hosting with me, but Belinda Garcia.
Belinda Garcia making her return.
Yeah, I've not had a chance to meet her yet.
She's fantastic. You're going to love her. She's going to love you.
We're going to have a lot
of
fun.
I'm actually not running the show.
Oh, you're not here.
Barrett's running it tomorrow.
You acted so excited. You got my hopes up.
I'm excited to always be around you.
All right. Well, me and Barrett then, baby.
Hell yeah.
And he mentions Donkey Kong 64 once. I swear to God.
He will. He will. Swear to God. Without fail.
All right. Well, that has been it. And until next time, Tim Geddes.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, best friends.